Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
John chapter 21, John chapter 21, verses 15 to 25. Now, in this passage, we're going to be studying some words that Jesus Christ gave to Peter and John in John chapter 21, verses 15 to 25. And that's going to take us to the end of the chapter and to the end of the book of John. Now, in this passage, first of all, Jesus Christ begins speaking with Peter, and then there's some conversation concerning John, and then John closes out his gospel. Peter and John, well, let's read the passage, John chapter 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him in the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God, and when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die, yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Now, in this passage, we want to look at some things concerning Peter. We'll actually see three things concerning Peter, and we'll see three things concerning John. And the first thing we see concerning Peter in this passage is his restoration to the ministry. His restoration to the ministry. And there's some comfort in that to us, because I know that in the Christian life there are the ups and downs. And many times you'll find yourself in a situation where you think you're just going great guns for God, and the next thing you know, you find yourself flat on your face. You've been tripped up by yet another problem or besetting sin or some other thing, and you think, you know, I'm just knocked out. But Peter, you know, told the Lord, I'm going to go right on down there, and I don't care if everybody else is going to be offended. I won't be offended. I'll die with you after, and then denied Christ three times. And, you know, wept bitterly over what had happened. But here he gets restored to the ministry, and thank God for that. You know, Peter did an excellent job in writing his epistles. He did a great job in preaching down there at Cornelius' house in Acts chapter 2, and the boldness that he demonstrated and the leadership that he demonstrated is a great thing that God restored this man. And likewise, if you found that you've stubbed your toe, don't fret. Get the thing straight with God. Restore your fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, like Peter will do here in John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. and then go do what God wants you to do. As long as you're drawing a breath and you have the opportunity, get on with it for God. But it all hinges on this one thing. It hinges on your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? You know, Peter back there in Matthew chapter 26 said, basically, he boasted. I mean, you know, Peter was the kind of guy that was not ashamed to say whatever came to mind. And sometimes what came to mind was would get him in trouble. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 33, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Well, that's not so. He was offended when Jesus Christ told him to put the sword back up after cutting off Malchus's ear. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter, you know, Peter didn't accept it. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise said all the disciples. Well, he didn't know what Jesus Christ knew. He didn't believe it. Jesus said what was going to happen and prophesied correctly, but Peter said, I will die with thee, but I will not deny thee. So he spoke in such a way that it would seem, you would think, that Peter loved him more than anybody. So he asked him, lovest thou more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And Peter really did. Thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Now, you know, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through, I don't know, 7 or 8, gives you the qualifications of a preacher. And there's all kinds of things in there about the way that he needs to rule his household and his marital status and, you know, his personal conduct and not being a novice, and, you know, things like that. I'm not reading the list, but there's a number of things in there that are qualifications for the ministry, and they're excellent. But you know something, right here in Jesus Christ dealing with Peter, you are probably seeing the greatest qualification of the ministry of anything that is found in the Bible, and that is, do you love me? You know, in other words, there are many men whose lives are a good pattern, like 1 Timothy chapter 3, but the question is, do they really love the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, well, it's not possible that they could do what they do if they didn't love him. And Paul said, wait a minute. He said, I could have all knowledge. I could have all faith so that I could remove mountains. I could prophesy and know all prophecy. I could have all the tongues and speak with all the tongues of men and of angels. And on, Paul says, you know, I could give all of my money to the poor, and I could give my body to be burned. Okay, now that right there would indicate a man that really, really loved Jesus Christ if he were to do all those things. And yet Paul said, if I did all those things and I had not charity, I am nothing. It profiteth me nothing. In other words, when Paul said that, he said it is possible to do all that stuff and not be motivated by love, not have a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that were the case, it is a big goose egg. It's absolutely worthless. I am nothing, and it profiteth me nothing. So what I'm saying to you, what we need to discern from this text is, maybe you don't meet every single qualification of 1 Timothy chapter 3. You ought to as much as you can, but he says here, vigilant, sober, good behavior, husband of one wife, not greedy, not given to wine, no striker, patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his house, with gravity, not a novice, having a good report of them that was without. You know, it'd be great if you had all those, but I'm going to tell you something. If you had all of those and did not have charity, if you had all those and your motive for doing what you did was not the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, but rather it was the love of money, the love of recognition, the popularity, the power, authority, whatever it may be that drives you, the ego, whatever it is that drives you, let me tell you something. Then you're not really qualified for the ministry, because the prime qualification for the ministry is, do you love me, Jesus Christ said. That's putting it right down there. Let me tell you something. There are some men that love the Lord Jesus Christ who don't meet every single qualification to the magnification fornication of every Pharisee who would keep every willing-minded, willing-hearted man out of the ministry. But they do the best they can. But the one characteristic they do have is, bless God, they love Jesus Christ. And you know something? A man that really and truly loves the Lord Jesus Christ is a man who also will be able to love God's people. And let me, you know, I'm going to tell you something. They've said this before, and it is absolutely the truth. They will not care what you know until they know that you care. And then when they find out that you care, they're probably going to sit down and be willing to listen to you. What motivated Jesus Christ, Paul, Peter, all those guys is a supreme love for the Lord Jesus Christ that was then followed by a love for the people to whom they ministered. And the Lord said, you love me? Yes, I do. Then here it is. Feed my lambs. Peter was not perfect. And it's demonstrated all through the Gospels. And yet God said, I want you. And bingo, boy, right there in Acts chapter 2, Peter preached the message. 3,000 souls got saved. Acts chapter 10, when God wants somebody to go to the Gentiles, he said, Peter, get up and go to Cornelius' house and lead him to me. Preach. Why was he able to do all that? Love Jesus. Feed my lambs. That is the supreme call or the supreme qualification for the ministry, and the supreme call of the ministry is to minister that word. In Acts chapter 6, when there was some need for some help in the church, the men selected some men to help in the daily ministration to the widows, and he said, the reason we're going to ask you to do this is we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. That's the supreme call right there. And I'll tell you what, unfortunately, for many preachers, they are not able to fulfill the supreme call of their ministry anymore. The prime qualification is love of Jesus. And the prime call is to feed. I'll tell you what, it's not like that. Now the supreme call is administration in our generation. How well can he organize? How well can he have administrative meetings? How well can he lead? How well can he raise money to build a building? How well can he keep the flock together while we go through and pay off the debt on the building and all that kind of thing? And let me tell you something. That is not the prime call to the ministry. It is to feed the lambs. Now, when sheep and lambs are well fed, they will grow, they will be edified in the Lord, and they will reproduce. Acts chapter 20, when Paul got ready to leave the elders of Ephesus and he was giving them a final charge, he said, take heed therefore unto yourselves, Acts chapter 20, verse 28, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Feed them. 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter wrote to the elders. He said, I'm also an elder. I've witnessed the sufferings of Christ. I'm also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. What did he tell them to do in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2? Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Some guys, they think the prime call is the oversight, to be the overseer, and certainly there is some of that involved, but the prime call is to feed the flock of God. And that's what you see here in Peter's restoration to the ministry. He said to him in John chapter 21, verse 16, he saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said, then feed my sheep. And he said it the third time. Now, why would he say it three times? Well, you've heard it before. He asked him three times because Peter denied him three times. And each time he told him to do the same thing. Feed my lambs. That'll be the young ones. Feed my sheep. That's the mamas and the daddies. Take care of the flock. Take care of the flock. You know why churches are having the problems they are? The flock's being neglected for the administration of the ministry. And, you know, when they have a church plant, then that requires an awful lot of programs and an awful lot of oversight and tending to and that stuff. And I'll tell you what, it can sure draw your attention away from the sheep. And it's not just a matter of holding their hand. It's a matter of feeding them. getting up the material. I mean, they've even got services today, bless God, that will send you a package of sermons in the mail. I've gotten this stuff, you know, solicitation for this stuff sent through my office. You can go over there to the book, and they'll have it all written out for you. All you have to do is just get up in your pulpit and preach. You don't even have to worry about studying, preparing a message, crying out to God, and find out what he wants you to preach. And that ain't the ministry. That's the way it is today, but that ain't the ministry. So first of all, we see Peter's restoration of the ministry. The second thing we see is we see the prophecy of his death in John chapter 21, verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. All right. So eventually what happens is he gets girded or led, or, you know, led by somebody to his death. It goes to a place where he doesn't want to go. That is a prophecy concerning his death, because he says here in John chapter 21, verse 19, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. By what death he should glorify God. You see that there? So what is going on here is that it's like he's going to be imprisoned. You remember one time when Paul was thinking about going down to Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit kept warning him not to go, and one time a guy took his girdle and then tied it like that, and he said, so shall the man be whose this is. He's going to be bound and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. So he gets, it's a death by imprisonment. And if I'm not mistaken, of course, the history of tradition teaches that Peter was crucified upside down. He was imprisoned. I believe he was killed by Nero. And, you know, that's a tough thing. He says, I love you. You're going to feed? Yeah, I'm going to feed. Well, I'm going to tell you what this is going to get you. This isn't going to win you any popularity contest. You're not going to end up with a big building program. You're not going to have a Mercedes-Benz to drive and a big two-story house. You're going to be somebody else's prisoner when you're old. When you ought to be able to retire, you're going to be somebody else's prisoner, and you're going to get led away, and you're going where you don't want to go. But when you do this, I want you to remember that you are going to be glorifying God in the same way that Jesus Christ glorified God in his death. And 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, Peter knew that he was fixing to die then when he wrote this epistle. He said, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. See that? He's telling me. I'm telling you, Jesus showed me this is the way it was coming, and it's getting ready to happen. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Fixing to die. He knew it. Just the way Jesus Christ said that he was going to die. But he said, die as a man. Die to the glory of God. Tough to do, but he did it. Prophecy of his death. Restoration to the ministry. Finally, we see about Peter his final commission. Follow me, Jesus said in John chapter 21, verse 19. He also said the same thing in John chapter 21, verse 22. Follow thou me. And so Peter went about to do just that. And truthfully, a man in the ministry should find what the Lord Jesus, you know, as many as be the sons of God, they are led by the Spirit of God. Ought to find out where it is that God would have you to go, and go just that way and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He's still alive. Still has a plan for your life. And get about busy to do that thing and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that follows you, if by following the Lord Jesus Christ that leads you into death for the glory of God, then so be it. Then so be it. But then he has some things in here concerning John. John chapter 21, verse 20, Peter turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And the first thing we find is a prophecy of the revelation. A prophecy of the revelation. Jesus saith unto him, if, it's not a certain thing, he just said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Now, there are those who hold a doctrine called preterism. You know, it's a funny thing, but when men are ready to lie to you, they invent big words, or they invent doctrinal statements that then are used to state the doctrine one way and then change it, like premillennialists and preterists and these other, you know, different kinds of things. I don't even fool with the words. Preter, you know what it means? It just basically means that this guy believes, a preterist is somebody who believes, that everything concerning most of the prophecy in the Bible has already been fulfilled. In other words, all that stuff in the book of Revelation, all this stuff about the second coming of Jesus Christ was all fulfilled in 70 A.D. when Jerusalem was destroyed by Titus. And they will say that they believe that Jesus came in 70 A.D. when Jerusalem was destroyed, and that fulfilled the prophecies concerning the book of Revelation and all this other stuff. And so there was no contradiction here that John, in fact, did tarry till Jesus Christ came. But let me tell you something. If Jesus Christ came, where is he? They say, well, not bodily. He came spiritually. He's ruling from heaven right now. That isn't in any place where you read your Bible what the Bible says. The Bible says that Jesus Christ would get the throne of his father David, that his foot would be set down on the Mount of Olives, it would be divided, and he would go into Jerusalem, and that when Gentiles wanted to find Jesus Christ, they would grab hold of the skirt of a Jew and follow him into Jerusalem, because we have heard that God is with thee, and that they could visibly see the Lord Jesus Christ sitting there on the throne, ruling over all the earth. And bless God, if Jesus Christ is ruling over all the earth in a peaceful kingdom, he's doing a lousy job of it. And I say that with all reverence and fear of God and due respect for my Lord. He's not ruling this world. The god of this world is the devil. Now, he's ultimately in charge. He has a plan. He's going to bring the plan into play and effect. But the devil's not chained. This stuff hasn't been fulfilled. He's coming back bodily just the same way that he went up. And that's what the angel said in Acts chapter 1. So my question to the preterist is, where is he? He said, if I will tarry till I come, if I will that he tarry till I come, where is he? Say, well, he came in judgment, he left somewhere again. There's nothing in the Bible like that. That's a figment of your imagination. You're just putting off a doctrine because you don't want anybody to look forward to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth because you're not looking forward to it. Well, then you throw away your crown of righteousness, but don't teach other people to do that. Paul said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not to which the righteous judge shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. Appearing. I love his appearing. You want to talk other people out of it and people are stupid enough to follow you into that, then okay. Let that be your deal. But don't you be stealing that crown from me or anybody else that wants to believe what the Bible says. Stop your foolishness. If I will that he tarry till I come, you say, well, wait a minute then. John's not still alive. Well, John told you then when he brought this saying among the brethren that the disciples should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Now, I want you to compare something here. Look back here in Matthew chapter 16, verse 28. Jesus was talking to the people there, and he said, I want to tell you something. The Son of Man, he says in 16:27, shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. He's coming. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And then in Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 5 or 6 or 7 right in there, you know what? They saw him coming in his kingdom. Did he take the kingdom at that time? No, but they saw him transfigured before them, and they saw him there with Moses and Elias. Those are the two witnesses in the book of Revelation. They saw all that stuff. But what you say? But he did not make that the actual coming of his kingdom. They saw him coming in his kingdom. You know what Peter said about that experience in 2 Peter chapter 1, when 1 Peter chapter 1, when he began to recount that kind of thing, what he said about it, 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm sorry. You know what he said about that thing? He said, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. What? Of his coming. He said that they'll see it. And he just told you right here, I was an eyewitness of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the mount. Back there in Matthew chapter 17. See, preacher, what are you getting at? I'm getting at this. John saw all of those things pertaining to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and wrote those down in the book of Revelation. He did tarry till I come. In this sense that John was actually on the other side of the coming of the Lord and wrote down those events, all the openings of the seals, the opening of the vials, the trumpets sounding, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the armies that were within heaven. He said, followed him, past tense. He saw all that stuff and wrote it all down for you. The Bible says that calling those things that be not as though they were, he wrote that stuff down and he put it in there for us. Will Jesus Christ come? Absolutely. Just the same way that he went up, he will come again in the clouds, physically, visibly, literally, to take the throne of David and rule in Jerusalem, just like the Bible said. And John got to see that. But he didn't say he wouldn't die, and John did die. And then in the close of the letter, John validates his authorship. We've seen the prophecy of the Revelation. We see the validity of his authorship. This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things. And we know something about his testimony. We know that his testimony is true. Validation of his authorship. And then we see the scope of his gospel. It says, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Listen, in other words, what he's telling you is, I've given you enough information here about Jesus Christ to believe him, but I'll testify to you that if you wanted more documented evidence, I could give you enough so that there's not enough room in any court in the land to hold the testimony. There's not enough room in any library in the world to hold the testimony. There's not enough room to hold the books of all that I can tell you, but I've given you enough so you can believe him. My question to you is, do you believe him? Do you believe him? You'd better, because if you don't, hell awaits. But if you do, you'll see him and you'll be with him in glory.
You have been listening to the Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.